A crying baby is impossible to ignore, but a quiet baby can be easy to forget. Every year, dozens of children lose their lives because otherwise attentive adults forgot they were in the back seat. It only takes a moment for a car to heat up to dangerous levels, even on cooler days. So get in the habit of always looking in the back seat and use reminders to ensure baby is always with you. Where's baby? Look before you lock. Paid for by NHTSA.
Mary Beth Calabro from the Providence Teachers Union. She is the president, and I wanted to get her on as soon as possible because depending on which story you hear, and then there's other people saying, what? I've been teaching in, you know, for 20, 25 years. I've never heard anything like this. I've never heard anything about this. We're not teaching kindergarten students anything about, you should not have Thanksgiving anymore, or what do you think about Thanksgiving? Just like random thoughts have been tossed around. Where the concrete info is, I'm not quite sure. So let's go right to the CCONC Supply Hotline. Mary Beth Calabro from the Providence Teachers Union, the president, is on the line with me on the CCONC Supply Hotline. Thank you, Mary Beth.
Hi, good morning, Tara. How are you?
Good. Let me ask you, I think it's a busy time right now. You said you're in arbitration this week. Is that about the teacher's contract in Providence?
It's an arbitration that's left over. It has nothing to do with the current contract negotiations, no.
Okay, so still busy time, even though we're not in school right now, but it kind of never ends. And then you've got the So then you've got the conversations, and this is a Providence school teacher, correct? I mean, you can confirm that the woman that wrote this latest piece, Ramona Bessinger, and she put her name out there, so it is what it is. Are you familiar with her?
She is a Providence teacher, yes.
Okay. Do you have any knowledge of? Did she ever come to you, let's say, and say, you know, some of these examples of, listen, I don't, you know, things have changed for me. You know, kids are calling me America, saying because she's white, and there's just such a disconnect, if not a bad rapport now with the students. Have you heard any of these complaints or concerns?
She hasn't brought those specifics to me or this organization that I'm aware of. I mean, I just checked in with folks around here and no. So the answer is no. I do know that she was unhappy and she voiced her concerns on a public forum. I believe it was a ride. It was a ride meeting, talking about the curriculum changes, moving to American Reading Company from what we used to do. She did say that publicly, yes.
So what does that mean? Books that kids are reading in Providence schools, you change companies? And so it's a different...
So we don't, teachers don't have a choice in what curriculum they teach. So the commissioner and the school district put out a document that stated that there were four or five curriculums that were allegedly vetted and that the district would choose from those four or five. And we don't really have much of a choice because we're under state control. So it was really pushed, or we were really pushed toward the American Reading Company.
Okay. So is there something within, so what does the American Reading Company do? They tell you the list of books that they want taught in Providence, or they offer you
so the American Reading Company is definitely a curriculum product whereby there's lessons and it's measured out or vetted out in terms of what's taught, when, and what books folks are to be using.
Okay. Have you seen the list of books?
So it's I engage with the books at the middle level, as does Ms. Bessinger.
Okay, what does that mean?
That's part of my job. I'm a resource teacher, so I have to look at and use all the books that are being utilized.
Okay, so in her writings, this particular Providence teacher, Ms. Bessinger, she talks about, we did not need a new curriculum for students to learn about slavery and racism. We already did that in great depth, relying in part on the writings of great African-American authors. And then she says, missing from our curriculum during this past year, 2020 2021 school year was the diversity, perspective, truth, and rigor that previously were taught. Previously vetted books were removed from our classroom and sent to recycling. Gone was the diverse collection of American and world literature. House on Mango Street by Sandra Cisneros, James Baldwin's Go Tell It on the Mountain, Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, essays by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., poetry by Maya Angelou, Robert Frost, Anne Frank, Knight, The Boy in Striped Pajamas, Macbeth, Walt Whitman. It goes on and on. These books have all been tossed?
They're not utilized. They're not being utilized unless students choose books from the shelf for their personal independent reading. So what the American Reading Company does is it's an assessment-based direct instruction product where students take an assessment to gauge their reading level. And then there are a variety of books at that reading level on a variety of topics that students can choose. And then teachers have books that they are supposed to be utilizing in their instruction based on the scope and sequence of the directions coming from the American Reading Company. So to give you an example, in middle school where I was, the sixth grade does Greek gods, Greek myths, and things like that. In seventh grade, it was American history. So what happens is the English language arts and history are now the humanities. And so they're taught in tandem. And so there's identified standards that are focused on, and then identified specific books and tasks that students are being asked to complete. And so for this year, one of the texts was about the Revolutionary War, and then we went to the Battle of Bull Run. So there was a lot of missing content, if you will. And I think that's where Ramona is, or Ms. Bessinger is talking about the gap in what's happening. And to be, you know, to be honest, the rigor is not there in terms of the book selection and the topics that are being discussed.
Why? Why is what happened? What is the shift about?
I think that the shift was made to the American Reading Company in the hopes that it would be a supportive product to help improve student reading, student understanding, comprehension, et cetera. But what I think that it lacks is in-depth critical analysis for students to become critical thinkers. And so, and there are gaps, like I said, we went from, you know, the Revolutionary War to the Battle of Bull Run. There's a whole host of things that happened in between those two topics that that was missed by our students. And so I think it puts them at a disadvantage to have a curriculum that is not encompassing of all of history in a relatively sequential manner, because obviously what happened in the past impacts what's happening, what happened in the future, and what is currently happening now.
Mary Beth Calabro is on the line. This is kind of mind-boggling when you go through some of the authors that we all grew up with, you know, and to take out Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or Maya Angelou, who was my favorite poet, Anne Frank, not learning about the Holocaust. This particular teacher went on to say, what saddened me most was that I would not be teaching the Holocaust any longer. The Holocaust unit included one of the following: either Anne Frank, The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, and depending on the reading level, Elie Wiesel's Knight. And when I asked the school reading coach where all the Holocaust books were, she said, quote, "We do not teach the Holocaust because kids can't relate to the story." How is that possible?
I don't know what that rationale was to make that comment. But, you know, it used to be, a couple of years ago, a few years ago, and before that, that we taught about the Holocaust specifically. We taught about the Vietnam War, and we taught about enslavement of peoples, indigenous peoples, and African Americans. What's happening now is we're doing touch points, and we're not digging deep enough, I don't think, to provide our students with the foundation that they need to be critical thinkers or analytical thinkers. And I think we're doing them a disservice by giving them this flash in the pan, very superficial understanding of historical events that have been chosen, obviously, by the company and not by, you know, what actually happened in history.
So, Mary Beth, is that what critical race thinking is? Let's get rid of the old way of teaching. Let's focus more on what are we doing?
See,
what in your mind is critical race
thinking
or teaching?
I don't know what critical race theory, I don't know that there's a standardized definition of critical race theory. And I can tell you that we don't teach critical race theory in our schools. What I can say is that there has been a shift in curriculum and curriculum products that was made by people other than teachers. It was made at a much higher level, and teachers have complained across the district about the change and the lack of rigor that these products have brought to our district.
So who are you complaining to, and who are you saying made the changes? If it wasn't the teachers, someone brought in a new company, they're tossing out all of the books that we all recognize from history and what we were taught and we were told to read. Mm-hmm. And are you saying it's Commissioner Infante Green?
Well, she is the leader of the state education department, and she is in charge of Providence Public Schools as she took over. So she put forth this choice of American Reading Company, and it was pushed. If you ask teachers what they were asked, it was very clear when teachers were asked what they would prefer between American Reading Company and another company, I believe it was Wit and Wisdom, it was very clear that the push was towards American Reading Company.
So are they known to be behind critical race theory? Is that what it is? Is this particular company behind what people are starting to understand, if they can, critical race theory?
I don't think that they are. I mean, I don't know that much about the American Reading Company's, you know, perspectives and you know, origins to make that leap. But I can say that critical race theory is a term that is clearly being weaponized across the country for a whole host of reasons, but we don't specifically teach white folks are bad, and we're looking to teach, or we're seeking to teach the truth. And so
the truth? I mean, the fact, you know, the historical facts happened, and then people can form an opinion as they grow and experience and get older. But, you know, changing the curriculum is one thing, but throwing out books that were historically valid, in my opinion, seems bizarre.
Oh, as a you know, typically English teacher and a person who is an avid reader, the fact that books were thrown away at all makes me nauseous. Those weren't the only books that were thrown away. And unfortunately, that's what this district does and has done historically, is when they change curriculum or they change courses, they throw out the old rather than keeping them for resources or providing them to schools, whether it be in our district, in our state, in our country, or outside of our country, who cannot afford the resources. We throw them in a dumpster. That, to me, is the sin of this whole thing.
Mary Beth, could you hold on just a moment so I can squeeze in a break here?
Yeah, sure.
All right, we're going to come right back. Mary Beth Calabro from the Providence Teachers Union, the president. We'll be right back. I have two quick questions for you, and I don't have much time, but are you finding teachers other than this one particular teacher that wrote, you know, spoke out and wrote about it, are other teachers coming to you saying, what the hell is this all about?
They're coming to me more about the gaps in the curriculum, right, and the lack of rigor. So their concern is that we're not teaching in a sequential manner, first of all, and second of all, that we're skipping very significant historical events, the Holocaust being one, but, you know, and they're worried that we're doing.
Is it too, are they saying it's too race based as opposed to just give us the historical events?
No, not at all, not at all. I think that the way that the American Reading Company is designed is to basically be like an overview rather than a deep dive into historical perspectives. And it will hurt, in the long run, it will hurt our students' ability to make critical and impactful decisions.
What is this thing that I have gotten several emails on, including looking at a memo, and I don't have it in front of me, but is there such a thing as affinity groups where white teachers are in one group and teachers of color are in a separate group? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why? Why is that?
Historically, in talking about and having difficult conversations about racism and bias, the groups are separated by affinity. So there's people of color in one group and white folks in another group. And so that people of color can feel safe, as well as white people feel safe about how they are interacting, feeling about racism, race, all of the things that are impacting us. It's not meant to be divisive. It's just meant to be a safe space for people to be able to speak freely.
And how long has this been going on? You said historically, but technically, how long?
This past year, we had infinity groups. We have had infinity groups.
Okay. And no one's complaining about that? Or people say, I'm feeling very uncomfortable that I'm on the white side of the room and then there's a people of color on the other side of the room?
So it's voluntary, and people who are not comfortable, and we have had people, many people of both the people of color and our teachers of color and our white teachers have said that they're uncomfortable with it. But, you know, talking about race and racism is uncomfortable. I think that some people feel like this is further segregationist and feel like it's more divisive than helpful. But, you know, like I said, it was voluntary. And it's hard to have difficult conversations if people are feeling guarded in a room where everyone is engaged.
All right, listen, you thank you for coming on. I know we were trying to squeeze in a lot, so I appreciate it. We'll continue the conversation.
Yep.
Mary Beth Calabro, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.